Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
All right, welcome in. Big week. You realize the NBA draft lottery is tomorrow night? Don't ask me why, but I am obsessed with the NBA draft lottery. I love it when it happens each and every year. It's not as interesting now because they're remote and all this, but I love the draft. That's probably why. I love the NFL draft. I love the NBA draft. And I'm really starting to love the MLB draft because the Red Sox have the fourth overall pick. And I don't know if you've heard, Fangraphs reported last week, or in their mock draft, I should say, Jack Leiter, who is the best college prospect out there from a pitching perspective. He had 15 strikeouts tonight, by the way, in the College World Series. He's trying to get his way to Boston. He's taking less money. He wants to take less money because he says, I don't want to play for the Tigers, okay? I don't want to play for the freaking Pirates. I want to play for the Red Sox. So I absolutely love that. But anyway, NBA draft's going to be awesome, too. You got Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick. And it's a weird draft because you get a couple of these guys that are from the G League, Jalen Green and Kuminga, so it's tough to judge those guys, to gauge them. You get a big guy at a USC and Evan Mobley. It's going to be a fascinating draft. Anyway, nobody cares about the draft. Let me get back to the topic on hand, which is Brad Stevens, president of basketball operations. Brad Stevens, and by the way, we're with you until midnight. What did you make of the most recent trade, or Brad's first trade, sending Kemba Walker to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Al Horford? And what did you make of some of Brad's post-trade press conference today, his first as the president of basketball operations of the Boston Celtics? The number is 617-779-7937. So here was Brad earlier today addressing what it's like to have to trade away a guy like Kemba.
Hey, Brad, why did you make the deal? And secondly, you talked about the difficulty of making the deal. Was it more difficult than you thought, trading someone you were emotionally attached to? I mean, all these guys you've coached and all these guys you've had deep conversations. So one, why did you make the trade? Why was it necessary? And two, how difficult was it to get over the fact that you were close to these guys emotionally?
Well, I think that's right. Part of the job change. Right. But it is difficult because I really like Kemba, period. Like, end of story. There's, you know, he is a super likable person. And again, I think the deal was made, and, you know, I'm sure it's been talked about on the outside and everything else, but there are a couple of things, right? Is we had to look at with the idea of moving that first round pick this year, right? It gave us the opportunity to look at a road ahead with a few more options from a financial flexibility standpoint, with all of our future, you know, first round picks passed this year, which again gives you more options. And then it was the best deal that we thought with regard to, you know, returning players, right? I mean, the idea, or the opportunity to add Al, who makes significantly less money, but is, a really good player that has corporate knowledge of this environment, that, you know, is really excited to be back in Boston and is, you know, has a good feel for, you know, not only playing with our guys, but also has made them better. And I think that, you know, his ability to pass, his ability to play a couple of positions, but certainly, you know, stretch the floor against bigs, and his ability to guard, guys are all, you know, very good, but his impact on others and his ability to lift others is, you know, one of his great strengths. So to have the ability to get that in return and gain financial flexibility moving forward, the cost, right, was a person that you, you know, really, really like, and, you know, one first round pick.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. You got the Al Horford side, you got the Kemba Walker side. Let's start with Brad Stevens, though, because he says in that, super likable person. Little too old to be saying a super likable. Don't say super likable. Come on, Brad. Hey, grow up. You're a grown man. Don't say super likable. I don't like that terminology. You're grown enough to not be using terms like super likable. Now, here's the other thing I would mention here. Is Brad Stevens, without saying it, is taking a shot at Kemba Walker? He's not trying to take a shot at Kemba Walker. He went out of his way to praise what a nice guy Kemba Walker is. But think about what he said about Al Horford, and you juxtapose that to what he said about Kemba Walker. With Kemba Walker, it was all about his personality, right? It was all about, oh, he's a super likable guy. I really like him. And then on the flip side of that, what did he say about Al Horford? He makes guys better, right? So he was directly, or I should say indirectly, taking a shot at Kemba Walker. He's saying Al Horford actually makes guys better. Well, he didn't mention Kemba Walker made guys better, did he? No, he just said that he was a likable guy. He really liked Kemba. He wanted to make that abundantly clear because I'll get to it in a second. Jared Weiss from The Athletic had a big write-up on Sunday about how dysfunctional the Celtics were organizationally and how Kemba and Brad had their issues. But he did mention that Al Horford makes guys better and Kemba Walker doesn't, and Kemba Walker is supposed to do that as a point guard, right? So I want to get to this. Jared Weiss on Kemba Walker. This is from his article up at The Athletic, and if you have a subscription to The Athletic, you can read it. He says, several team sources felt Stevens was more aggressive with certain players this year, which included Walker, who was criticized for his defensive mistakes. Those sources said Walker and Stevens began to butt heads. Though the pair were considered to have productive working relationships and mutual respect for one another, Walker maintained his professionalism throughout the season, but his health issues, the team's poor performance, and boos from TD Garden fans, something that particularly pissed him off. I'm sorry to Kemba that the crowd was booing you when you were playing poorly. According to multiple sources, that made him sour on his situation in Boston and had spoken privately about being willing to move to a different team. It has become clear he was not going to be in the team's long-term plans. Okay, so that was a report from Jared Weiss from The Athletic over the weekend, and there's more juicy stuff that came out of his article as well. It's a great article by Jared Weiss of The Athletic. But first of all, I do like how Brad said in that there was a lot of things at play, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but and I'm sure it's been talked about outside. So Brad was basically saying everything that you've heard about this being a financial move, about this being about Kemba's health, all that is true, right? And it certainly is. But let's address the Kemba Walker situation here, because apparently Brad Stevens was harder on Kemba than other players because of his defensive mistakes. Well, shouldn't he be? So Kemba is not a dog defensively. I'm not accusing Kemba Walker of being somebody that doesn't try, like we've seen in the past with the James Hardens of the world. At times when Kyrie Irving was a member of the Celtics organization, he played ole defense, right? I'm not accusing Kemba Walker of being somebody that didn't try on defense. But we have to acknowledge the fact that he was a liability from a defensive perspective, right? And we saw teams hunting him throughout the season this season. But also, if you go back to the Orlando bubble, remember, basically the Miami Heat ran two plays the entire series against the Celtics. The first one, they never figured out a way to stop, which Coach Brad, he doesn't have to deal with those problems anymore, right? Now he's President Brad. But anyway, getting back to the original point, it was that pick and roll with Bam Adebayo. They never figured that out. Very simple play, right? It happens every game, multiple times. The Celtics had no answer for Bam Adebayo. He was the best player in that series. The other thing that they were doing in that series, if you remember back to the Orlando bubble, is every time Goran Dragic had the ball or every time Jimmy Butler had the ball, the other thing they would do is they would say, okay, who is Kemba covering? Whoever Kemba's covering, that guy sets a pick so we can get an isolation on Kemba Walker, right? We saw that throughout the postseason last year, especially against the Heat. We saw it at times this year. And quite frankly, the Toronto Raptors did a bit of that as well, right? So that's something that we cannot deny. Kemba was a defensive liability. But what I give Brad credit for as a coach is nobody in the NBA gets out of bad matchups better than the Celtics do. That's something that, and I'm not saying that facetiously, because I know I've taken a lot of shots at the Celtics over the past couple of months. I'm not saying that facetiously. They actually do this really well. And you notice it anytime that Kemba Walker has a disadvantageous matchup off the ball, they'll scram him, right? You'll see whether it be Tatum, whether it be Brown, whether it be one of the big men, they'll get to Kemba and they'll basically almost, they'll hit him in the back to get him to a different player. They do it all the time, right? It's really good. The other thing they'll do is they'll pre-switch so Kemba doesn't have to guard somebody that's going to expose him, right? When that pick and roll comes up, they'll switch it quickly, right? So that Kemba Walker doesn't get exposed. The Celtics are really, really good at that, right? So there's a couple of things at play here. First, when you say that, or when Jared Weiss reports that Brad Stevens was upset with some of the mistakes that Kemba was making defensively, you got to look at it from this perspective. You expect the player to make up for it on the other end, right? So if you're doing all these things to go out of your way to protect Kemba Walker, the defensive liability, he's got to make up for it on the other side of the court, right? He's got to be great offensively, right? So you go back to like the Golden State Warriors when Steph Curry was being the target of the Cavaliers all the time in the NBA Finals, right? Even other teams in the Western Conference were going at Steph Curry, right? Even though Steph is 10 times the defender that Kemba Walker has ever been, because he's not as diminutive in stature, right? Steph Curry's 6'3", right? But anyway, when you look at Steph Curry, he's still going to give you his 25 to 30 on the other side. He's going to do it efficiently, right? With Kemba Walker, he wasn't doing that this year. He was shooting 42% from the field, 36% from three, and he was giving you just 19 a game. So was it all worth it, right? You're doing all this stuff defensively to make up for Kemba Walker being a negative on that end of the floor, and he's not a positive on the other end of the floor, right? He was a tremendously inefficient player this past season. Even think back to this Celtics organization with Isaiah Thomas. Well, when they were doing all the same things for Isaiah, right, scramming him defensively, making up for his deficiencies on the defensive side, having to scheme things up defensively to protect Isaiah Thomas, well, he was going for 29, he was shooting 46% from the floor and 38% from three, and he was top five on the MVP ballot. Those are facts, right? These are actual facts. Isaiah Thomas was way better than Kemba Walker. I'm not going back into the Isaiah Thomas trade. I'm just saying when Isaiah Thomas was here, he was a way better player than Kemba Walker. So you could understand from an offensive standpoint, or a defensive standpoint, I should say, why guys didn't mind making up for Isaiah Thomas, because he was doing all these things at the other end of the floor and he was the best offensive player. Now with Kemba Walker, he's the third best offensive player on this team behind Tatum and behind Jaylen Brown. So when Brad Stevens doing all these things defensively to try to hide Kemba Walker, he can't even get that crap right, and he's not getting it right on the other side of the floor. That's why I can clearly see why Brad Stevens would be aggravated, and justifiably so. Okay, now there's the second part to this as well. When Kemba Walker makes mistakes defensively, it should infuriate Brad more, because Tatum and Brown and Smart, all those guys are asked to defend good players, right? And make up for Kemba's inability to do anything other than take a charge. That's the only thing he can do defensively, is take charges. That's it. Okay. He can't stick with guys, especially now with the hampered knee situation. He can't stick with guys. He's not good fighting through screens. All he can do is take charges. That's basically it, right? So when he falls asleep and he misses a scram, when somebody says, "Hey, Kemba, get out, move, move, move," right? When he misses one of those, it's unacceptable. You're making a defense around Kemba Walker's inability on that side of the floor, right? Because he sucks defensively, you're trying to make up for the player. And when he isn't doing his assignment right, or when he's missing assignments, I could totally understand why Brad Stevens would be more upset with Kemba than other guys, right? Because, okay, if Jason Tatum makes a mistake defensively, well, he was on Kawhi Leonard most of the game, right? Or he was covering Bradley Beal most of the game. Or he's covering Kevin Durant most of the game, right? Or you can say the same thing about Marcus Smart, right? Even though I felt Marcus Smart had an off season defensively, he was not the same defender this year as he's been in other seasons. But he's having to cover difficult matchups, right? He's covering Chris Middleton, or he's covering Devin Booker, right? He's getting asked to defend difficult guys. So if Jason Tatum or Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, who gets a lot of those matchups as well, when those guys make mistakes defensively, and they make mistakes defensively from a tactical standpoint, you can let them off the hook more, because those guys are asked to do so much in terms of the players they actually defend. Kemba Walker is asked to essentially guard the worst player on the other team. And anytime he's in a bad situation, he has to actually defend a good player. They try to get him out of that matchup, right? So you are going to be easier on Jaylen and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart when they make mistakes defensively because they're going up against tougher matchups when Kemba Walker, he's asked to cover the worst player on the other team and they're getting him out of bad situations and he's still making mistakes. If I was Brad Stevens, I'd be pissed as well. You got one assignment. Don't screw up your defensive assignment. Don't screw it up. And we're going to make up for your inability to play defense, and he's still screwing it up. So Brad Stevens should be pissed about that. And he should treat Kemba Walker differently than the other players. First of all, he's the veteran on the team, right? He's the older guy on the team, and you're not getting your assignment right? This should be the easier stuff for you than the younger players on the team. So that whole write-up that Jared Weiss had as it pertains to Kemba Walker, that would piss me off too if I was the coach Brad Stevens. I'm designing a whole game plan to make up for you being a horrible defender and you can't even get your assignment right. Come on, get it together, man. Anyway, so also let's get to Kemba being upset about the boos. Really? He was upset about getting booed at the TD Garden? Are you kidding me? First of all, when did we even get fans there? Kemba barely played in front of fans this year. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did he even play in front of a full capacity arena this year? No, he didn't, right? Because the Celtics' first game at full capacity would have been game four. So he never played in front of a full capacity crowd. I don't even know what the hell he's complaining about. Play better. Okay, did they boo Isaiah Thomas at the Garden? No, they didn't. You know why? Because he played well. Okay, did they boo Tatum at the Garden this year? No, because he's putting up 50 or 60 points against the Brooklyn Nets. I'm sorry that they booed you, Kemba. I mean, can the guy be any more soft? It's ridiculous. I had nothing against Kemba until I saw this article. I really didn't. He's upset that Brad was harder on him than other players because he sucked defensively. He's upset that the fans at the Garden are booing him. I mean, come on, man. This organization bent over backwards for Kemba Walker. Bent over backwards for Kemba Walker. Oh, yeah, Kemba, you're not going to play in back-to-backs. We're not going to play in any back-to-backs this year. Oh, Kemba's going to be fine. How many different times did they try to figure out a solution with his knee? Not to mention the fact they gave him a max contract. He's upset about being booed and that the coach was hard on him. Give me a break. Really, give me a break. And by the way, this is what did Danny Ainge in. This is the worst contract that Danny Ainge ever gave out. Bottom line, I don't know how you argue to the contrary. I mean, we can go through some of the mistakes Ainge has made in his career in terms of draft picks, etc., and not pulling the trigger on certain trades. But in terms of a tangible result, I don't know how you could argue any contract that Danny Ainge gave out was worse than this one. What did Kemba Walker give you? He was not good in the Orlando bubble last year in the postseason. He shockingly was out at the end of this postseason, right? I mean, shocker that Kemba Walker was dealing with another injury. I mean, I'm not telling you it's the guy's fault, but I mean, you could have predicted this. The guy had three knee procedures when he was a member of the Charlotte Hornets. They wouldn't give him a contract that he wanted. They wouldn't give him the Supermax. They were offering him about 80% of what he could have actually earned the Hornets. What did that tell you? If the Hornets were ready to move on from the player, shouldn't you have realized that, oh yeah, probably not a good idea to give this guy a long-term contract extension? But really, I had nothing against Kemba till I saw this. He's upset that Brad was hard on them defensively. He didn't like the fact that the 10% capacity at the Garden was booing him this year. I mean, get over it, dude. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's kick it off with Darren tonight. He's in Connecticut. Darren, what's up, man?
They brought in Kemba to make a team that doesn't play as individuals. I don't know why you're busting Kemba's ass. Even with a bad knee or anything, he is a team player, not an individual player. And these guys play individual players looking at a contract as rookies. And they're looking to be all-stars. And
well, they were all-stars, Darren. What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean? They were all-stars.
No, you busting on Kemba. That's crazy.
What did Kemba do? What did Kemba do, Darren? What did Kemba do for the Celtics?
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? That's part of, he's getting paid to play basketball. What do you mean?
Play as a team. And that's Kemba.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can't use that word on the air. And also, by the way, did he compare Kemba? Did he say Kemba's not Michael Jordan? I would agree. I would agree that Kemba Walker's not Michael Jordan. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about, really, quite frankly, that we shouldn't be criticizing Kemba Walker for his time with the Celtics. I mean, really, I get it. He tried to play through injury, but he never got it right. The guy wasn't dependable. What Brad Stevens had to do is he couldn't keep providing the young players on this team. I should say, not the young players on the team, the stars of the team, the Jason Tatums of the world and the Jaylen Browns of the world. What Brad Stevens couldn't do as the president of basketball operations for the Celtics, he couldn't keep providing them false hope, right? Because that's what Danny Ainge did. That's what his predecessor did. He kept providing Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum false hope. That's what he was doing. It's, hey, guys, we got this Kemba Walker situation figured out, right? The reason that, remember, the reason that Kemba Walker was not playing back-to-back games during the regular season was because of his knee, and the goal was that that meant that he was going to be fresher for the postseason. That was the idea behind Kemba Walker sitting out all these back-to-backs, right? That was the idea of the whole situation. But what happened when you got to the postseason? His body failed him once again at the most inopportune time. That's the issue you have with Kemba Walker. Nothing against the person or anything along those lines. It's the fact that he couldn't post every day. He couldn't. He couldn't post in back-to-back days. And then when you got to the postseason, non-factor once again. And quite frankly, let me remind you, Kemba Walker sucked in the postseason before he actually went out with the injury. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight tonight. A lot more to get into. And I do want to continue on the Celtics thing, okay? So I've heard a lot over the past couple of days that, okay, the Celtics without Kemba Walker are actually a worse team now than they were 48 hours ago, or actually more than that now. They're not as good now as they were last week, okay, when they still had Kemba Walker. I completely disagree with that. I'll tell you why in just a little bit here on WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
With you until midnight. What do you make of the Kemba Walker Al Horford swap? 617-779-7937, the number. The Celtics really did pick a horrible year to take a step back. Because you look at the landscape of the NBA right now, I have never seen an NBA playoffs like this in my lifetime. It is wide open. You got the Phoenix Suns in there, and Chris Paul's dealing with COVID protocols right now, which is a weird situation that Chris Paul's in COVID protocol. Not to say that COVID's not amongst us still, but it's just weird to see somebody be in COVID protocol now. We haven't seen it, it feels like, in weeks in the NBA. Then you have the Clippers, who are in their first conference finals ever. All it took was get rid of Doc Rivers, and Kawhi Leonard missed the final two games of their previous series. You have the Milwaukee Bucks that have no business being in the conference finals. They should have lost to the Nets. Really, they do not deserve to be in the conference finals. The Nets almost beat them with one superstar. They almost beat him with essentially just Kevin Durant. James Harden could barely move, and Kyrie went out in game 4 of that series. And then the Atlanta Hawks, The Atlanta Hawks are in the conference finals. It's embarrassing, right, where the Celtics are at right now compared to the rest of the league. This should have been a golden opportunity for them to make a run and just never worked out for them this season. And a lot of that has to go on Danny Ainge because, quite frankly, the roster sucked. Bottom line, the roster sucks. So they picked a bad year to have this sort of rebuild, if you will. Let's get to Shin. He's in Malden. What's up, Shin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just want to talk about the Kemba trade. So, President Brad, you know, I like the ring of it, and I think the trade was a good one. You know, I think it's time to move on from Kemba. I honestly, this whole Jared Weiss article, there's, like, so much in there. I really don't know how much, like, stock, you know, to take in it. He's talking about, like, Gordon Hayward and comments that Gordo made. I mean, he's been gone for a whole year. Why is this, like, coming out now? But either way, you know, the Kemba contract, it was a disaster. I mean, we coddled him and didn't play him on any back-to-backs. And then, you know, in the end, he's not even, you know, then you can't even play him in the playoffs. You know, we did all that so he could be healthy for the playoffs. And even with all that, he's still not healthy. That knee's never going to be right. So, you know, I just think it was time to move on. I mean, and beyond what the article Jared Weiss says, you know, it's just, it's all business, you know. So I'm just glad to move on. I love having Al back. And like you're saying, the league's wide open. So I think, you know, last year could have said the same thing. You know, we had a chance in the bubble and we sort of blew it. This year, too, really similar. But I'm hoping that, you know, next 2 years, like, our team looks good. We got the young stars. And I think we just got to, you know, put more around them, you know, to get deeper in the playoffs. Thanks.
Fair enough. Appreciate the call, Shin. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. A couple of things there. Gordon Hayward, essentially, in the article by Jared Weiss, Gordon Hayward basically told Brad Stevens he's got to have a more powerful voice if he wants to have the respect of the players, which that seems like it's credible to me. Doesn't it seem like that's something that Brad Stevens would have needed going forward? It felt like the team was walking all over Brad Stevens, right? That goes back to the Kyrie era. They never called Kyrie out for anything. Kyrie could do whatever he wants, so I could totally understand Gordon Hayward saying that. And the other part is the timing. The season's over, right? So now you can release all this information now that Brad Stevens is no longer the coach, now that Kemba Walker is no longer on the team. So you've been doing this and collecting this reporting throughout the year. If you write this story during the season, everybody's just going to deny it. Now you put it out here. I know Brad kind of denied it, although he wasn't directly asked about the Athletic story today, but he has a situation now where it's like, well, it's kind of in the past, right? The Kemba Walker stuff is out there now. And maybe he was told, Jared Weiss of the Athletic was told, hey, don't put this out until Kemba Walker's gone. Maybe that's what happened. That certainly could have been the case, right? Now, let me get to the other part of this whole equation, which is he mentioned Kemba Walker, that knee's never going to be right. I present to you Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman just retired from the NFL with a very similar situation, bone-on-bone knee situation. That's essentially what Kemba's dealing with right now. He essentially has an arthritic knee. That's the bottom line. Kemba Walker is never going to be the same player again. I don't, like, wish bad things to happen to Kemba in Oklahoma City. I'm just saying, I don't see Kemba Walker turning his career around. He's never going to have that explosion again. And he's never been really, like, a super crafty guy, right? His game is based on his speed, his explosion. Like, for example, a guy like Chris Paul. Chris Paul is somebody that he plays at his own pace. He speeds up. He slows down. He's more crafty and more skilled than Kemba Walker. He doesn't rely on his explosiveness, if you will. Kemba Walker does. That's why I don't see the player aging particularly well, especially now that we know what's going on with the knee situation. But I did want to get to this. This was Brad Stevens talking about Al Horford.
No, Al can move the needle. Al had a good year in Oklahoma City, obviously. Didn't play a ton of games. You know, I think he played 28 or 29 games, but had a, you know, statistically had a year that was, you know, obviously, you know, applies across the board. Again, I think that, you know, sometimes the ability to space, pass, play in different ways and play in different coverages on the other end, be able to play with other bigs or as the lone five, I think is something that he just has a wealth of experience, right? And so, yeah, that played a role. Again, I think the first thing was, you know, it was really important to create a clear road ahead from the standpoint of financial flexibility. And then when you have the opportunity to bring back a player person the caliber of Al Horford, who's really excited to be here, it was something that we needed to move on.
All right, so three things to react to there. The first one is, we are now a year and a half into the pandemic, and we're still doing Zoom calls. That's an embarrassment. And I would also mention to the Celtics, get your internet straight. You're doing a press conference with the president of basketball operations. Get your damn internet on track. Come on. Let's pick it up. This is like back in the 90s when you had to do like, hey, make sure you're not on the phone because I want to go on the internet. Like, come on, let's get it together from an internet perspective here, okay? Let's work at this. Let's get the IT guy on that. Anyway, getting back to the important stuff here. It is interesting that Brad mentions, I like the fact that Brad is actually, we looked at him as a coach and he basically said nothing. He would talk for a while, but he said nothing. He's actually being crystal clear with this. The first thing was financial flexibility. He's telling you the reason we did this was financial flexibility, which everybody knows, but it's difficult or it's unordinary, I should say, for a coach or a president of basketball ops. Now, I got to get used to that, to actually say that. Yeah, the reason we did this is, so in 2022, we open up a max salary slot if we want to get rid of Al, and Kemba's making a lot more money than Al. That's why we brought Al here. He basically told you it's financial reasons. But the other thing he did say in there, which I want to get to now, and I feel like is the most important part of the equation, is the fact that Brad said Al Horford does move the needle. He referenced Al Horford's passing, his ability to stretch the floor. So I believe that Al Horford makes this team actually better in the 2021-2022 season than Kemba Walker would have been able to do. Because Kemba Walker, we all know, from a physical standpoint, not the same player anymore. And secondly, I would also reference the fact that he doesn't play in back-to-backs. Who knows if he's going to play in back-to-backs going forward? That knee is basically done. It's damaged goods at this particular point in time. But anyway, I want to mention this in terms of Al Horford and his passing. So you cannot deny, even if you think Al Horford was an overrated player or he gets paid too much money, great. Totally understand that. Is he a max contract player? No, he certainly isn't. Did he live up to the max contract when he's a member of the Celtics the first time around? No, he certainly did not. But he is a solid player. He's a good ball mover. He's an intelligent passer. He can stretch the floor a little bit in terms of his shooting. So that's what I look at with Al. He always makes the right play, right? And you could clearly tell that Brad Stevens values that, right? Remember, Brad Stevens would always play Tice at the beginning of the season, and it felt like it took Danny to get rid of Tice until Brad had to go with the more of the role man, so to speak, like Robert Williams, that type of center, the more athletic center rather than the guy that can stretch the floor a little bit. He moves the basketball, good passer. Brad really values that, and you can clearly see that by bringing back Al Horford. So in terms of the ball movement, the passing, right? You think about Al Horford. So the Thunder's assist rate was 26 in the NBA this past season, 56.8%. Not good, okay? But with Al on the court, that actually went up to 60.4%, which would have been 14th in the NBA. So they go from horrible in terms of a passing team. With Al Horford on the floor, they were slightly above average. There's the whole average Al thing. But they were slightly above average when Al Horford is actually on the floor because he's a good passer, gets rid of the ball quickly, makes quick decisions. That's part of what makes Al Horford a good player, right? Now, the Celtics, what do they need? Ball movers. They need people to move the basketball. They got ISO heavy at times. This was not a good passing team last season. Now, Jason Tatum is still in his embryonic stages as a playmaker. He did get over 4 assists per game this year, but he's still in his embryonic stages as a playmaker, right? That's the last part of his game. You're looking at the improvement of the player. Okay, he needed his handle to get tight. Well, he improved that 2 seasons ago. Okay, he needed to get to the free throw line more. He improved that in the Orlando bubble last year, struggled a bit at the beginning of the season, but then we saw it in the playoffs, right? At one point, he got to the line 17 times. So when you look at it from that perspective, the next step for Jason Tatum is to become a better playmaker. I mean, you look at a guy like Kevin Durant, he didn't get over 4 assists per game until his 6th season in the NBA. Not everybody in the league is a LeBron James-level playmaker or a Luka Doncic-level playmaker when they come in. And you don't have to ever develop into that if you're Jason Tatum because he's such an incredible scorer, but he does eventually have to become an even better playmaker, although I would put some of that on the roster that Jason Tatum had a lot of potential assists that you're tossing it out to guys like Semi Ojeleye and Grant Williams that can't hit threes, right? So that's kind of a problem when you look at it from that perspective. But anyway, getting back to the original point, Al Horford can help with the ball movement, right? So if you look at it last year, the Celtics just 27th in assist rate. So you look at when Kemba Walker was on the floor last year, right, for the Celtics, their assist rate only went up 1.8% when he was on the floor. That's it. He's the point guard of the team. The assist rate went up by 1.8% when he was on the floor. When Al Horford's on the court for the Oklahoma City Thunder, their assist rate goes up 4%, right? So Al Horford actually is more important to the playmaking of this team than Kemba Walker would have been. Al Horford on a garbage Oklahoma City team increased their assist percentage by 4%. Kemba Walker on a really good, or I shouldn't say really good, but a good Celtics team, a better, way better team than Oklahoma City. He only increased the assist rate by 1.8%, right? So Al Horford has more of an impact on that side of the floor in terms of the ball movement than Kemba Walker does. Now, the other thing I would mention is this. The Thunder last year with Al, 6.2 points better per 100 possessions when he was on the floor. The Celtics were just 2.6 points per 100 possessions better when Kemba Walker was on the floor. So Kemba Walker was supposed to provide this big boost whenever he did play, which was only last year 59% of the time. The reality is he never really did. With Al Horford, when he was on the court in the 28 games he played, remember, he was healthy at the end of the season, but they shut him down. They said, Al, about you playing, we don't want to do it because, we're trying to lose now. So we don't want you to play games, right? We'd rather you sit on the bench, right? So just sit on the bench, collect your paycheck. Al's like, all right, I'll collect my paycheck and I won't play. So Al was actually healthy at the end of the season. Obviously, we saw Kemba was not. So I just look at this from a fit perspective. It makes a lot more sense to have a ball-moving big man who can stretch the floor a little bit, who, oh, by the way, is still a pretty good defender at his advanced age, at the age of 35, so he isn't a liability on that side of the floor. Also, great communicator on that side of the floor, can point out the different assignments and whatnot. So when I just look at it, the fit is better for this team, and I feel like because the fit is better, the team will be better with Al Horford rather than Kemba Walker. Now, I understand the fact that you had to give up a first-round pick, which kind of sucks, right? I mean, you want to hold on to those first-round picks, if you will, but you got to realize where we were at in the Kemba Walker era. I shouldn't even say it. It lasted less than 2 years, really, because if you factor in the bubble and all that. But you were at a point where Kemba Walker's contract has now turned into one of the worst contracts in the entire NBA. So when you look at it from that perspective, you weren't going to get anything significant back in return, right? You were going to have to attach an asset to Kemba Walker just to move off the contract. So when you consider all those circumstances, that the contract was bad, the player was aging, everybody around the league had the same observations as the Celtics did and as all of us did watching the Celtics, right? So why would you expect anything better than this in return? That's where I'm at with this. So I have no problem with the trade whatsoever. And I, in fact, think this makes the Celtics better for the long term because they create financial flexibility. And secondly, better in the short term because Al Horford's a better fit on the Celtics right now than is Kemba Walker. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Sean. He's in Worcester tonight. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Brian? Hey, Bradley Beal is a friend of Jason Tatum.
Yep.
Do you think he could come to Boston? And my other question is, do you think they would consider Bruce Bowen to come and coach the Celtics because he played for the Celtics and he was defensive-minded?
I don't see the Bruce Bowen thing. I appreciate the call, Sean. I don't even think Bruce Bowen's looking to get into coaching. He's doing broadcasting right now. He was with the Clippers for a while. I think he's doing some ESPN stuff now. I don't see that being part of the equation. You're looking at basically Chauncey Billups, who's also a finalist with the Portland Trail Blazers as well. Marvin Hamm, who's with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's coming for a second interview as well. He may have already had his second interview. And Adoka from the Brooklyn Nets. So, I mean, that's basically the crop of guys that's going to be out there. So, yeah, I don't see Bruce Bowen being part of the equation. Okay, to the Bradley Beal point, would the Celtics actually make a move for Bradley Beal? I would not trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. I'll tell you why in just a little bit here on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, with you till midnight, the number is 617-779-7937. What did you make of President Brad's first big move, sending Kemba Walker to the Oklahoma City Thunder and getting back Al Horford? Let's get to Richard. He's in Millbury. What's up, Richard?
Yes, this is Richard in Millbury.
Yeah, what's going on, Richard? What do you got? What do you want to talk
hey,
about?
They played Kemba Walker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They let him get away with playing every other game, and they paid him a fortune.
They did.
Right. Every other game. Gee, I think I'll take tomorrow off. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, I appreciate the phone call. In defense of Kemba, that wasn't just his choice. That was the team's choice. Like, hey, we want to get this guy to the finish line. Now, it never worked out. I mean, he rested all these back-to-backs. And I get it was a different injury, but he rested all these back-to-backs, and he wasn't ready to go in the postseason. So, unfortunately, their whole idea, their whole plan, their master plan to get Kemba to the finish line, it didn't work anyway, right? So he had to make the deal. There wasn't going to be something else that was better out there. And Oklahoma City, by the way, remember, they're in the driver's seat when it comes to negotiating, when it comes to that, because there's going to be another team with a bad contract out there that's going to want to do business with Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City is the place where you send your bad contracts and you get a draft pick in return. That's what Oklahoma City's doing right now. They're taking on draft picks with bad contracts because they're a team that has to reach the salary cap floor. So it's smart for Brad to do this move early. Therefore, you'd be in a position where, okay, if another team comes with an offer with their bad contract and a first-round pick that's better than your first-round pick, then Oklahoma City's going to take that. So it was smart business by Brad Stevens, his first big move as running the Celtics organization. I actually liked it. Now, I did mention somebody was asking about Bradley Beal. When Bradley Beal's a free agent, maybe Jason Tatum can get his buddy to come here. I would not trade Jaylen Brown for him. And that's what it's going to cost you if you're the Celtics. If you're Washington, you're not giving up this player who was, what, second in scoring this season for anything but Jaylen Brown. What are you taking on? Romeo Langford, Aaron Nesmith, right? So Jaylen Brown would have to be part of the equation. And obviously, because of the NBA rules, you'd have to put other salary in there to make the deal work. But the main piece that Washington would want back is a young star in Jaylen Brown. This is why I'm not the biggest Bradley Beal guy. So I understand that he scores a lot of points, but he's not a very efficient player, right? I mean, he hasn't shot north of 40% from three-point territory since the 16-17 season. He's an overrated shooter. You look at his last four years, 37% from three, 35% from three, 35% from three, 34% from three. Everybody has this idea like Bradley Beal's this incredible shooter. He's not. As a two-point shooter this year, 53.5% from the field. League average is 53%. So he's barely above average when it comes to from two-point territory. From three-point territory, I've referenced 34%. League average was 36%. So he's actually well below average. You can tell me, yeah, his attempts are tougher. Yeah, certainly agree. He's the number one guy. But there's a lot of guys that are the number one option on their team, and their numbers aren't this bad like Bradley Beal's are from an efficiency standpoint. Kawhi's numbers aren't like that. Steph's numbers aren't like that. Lillard's numbers aren't like that, right? Effective field goal percentage, which counts in threes, 53.2% this year for Beal. League average, 53.8. So below average there. He doesn't defend anyone, by the way. He used to be a decent defender at the beginning of his career. He does not play defense at all. And he's had a bunch of leg injuries, by the way. Jaylen Brown is 3 years younger. And by the way, Beal would be going into his 28-year-old season next year. Jaylen's going into his 24-year-old season. He's 3 years younger. He's a way better defender. He's an ascending player. He's ascending. Bradley Beal has plateaued. Not to say he's a horrible player. He's an all-star level player. But Jaylen's getting better. 39% from three this year for Jaylen. League average, as we mentioned, was 36%. Jaylen Brown's assist rate went up by 7% this year, right? So Jaylen Brown is improving as a player. He's the commodity that you want in the NBA. You want the wing player that can defend multiple positions and that can score. That's what everybody in the league is looking for. You have two of them in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'm not moving off Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. Now, if we get into a discussion about when Bradley Beal is a free agent, fine. I'll entertain that conversation. I'll take him in here as a free agent when it doesn't cost me an asset. But I'm not getting rid of Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal right now. Bradley Beal is an overrated player. Bottom line. Now, as an isolation player this season, right? Well, how do you get all these points, right? As an ISO guy, just 0.94 points per possession this year. Okay, not even a point per possession. Just 44.5% from the field. That's in the 64th percentile in the league. Not good in terms of an ISO player. If you think about Damian Lillard, like if you're going to talk about trading Jaylen Brown, it's got to be for a player like Damian Lillard, not Bradley Beal. Lillard, 1.11 points per possession. That was in the 89th percentile. So a way more efficient player. As a pick and roll player this year, Beal, 0.97 points per possession. It was okay, 74th percentile, but Lillard, 1.09 points per possession in terms of the pick and roll. So Bradley Beal puts up a lot of good numbers. He's not an efficient player. He's not a good isolation player. He's a good pick and roll player, not a great pick and roll player, and he's not a great shooter. I don't want Bradley Beal coming in here if it means that Jaylen Brown is going to have to exit stage right. If you can somehow, if Brad can pull off an old Danny Ainge trade and you can fleece the Washington Wizards, like if you get Jason Tatum to go up to Bradley Beal as they're getting ready to play in the Olympics together, and Jason Tatum tells Bradley Beal, hey, demand a trade, and Washington, tell Washington you can you're only going to the Celtics, right? So if you basically force the trade and can somehow fleece them and not have to put Jaylen in the deal, fine. I'm all for that, but I'm not sacrificing a young wing player in Jaylen Brown for an older Bradley Beal that doesn't make the team that much better. In fact, I would argue it doesn't make the team better at all if Jaylen's out of the equation and you're still not winning the Eastern Conference. Why the hell would anybody do that? If you're going to trade Jaylen Brown, it's got to be the stature of Damian Lillard. It can't be Bradley Beal. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. A lot more to get into, including the 2008 Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history for one specific reason. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And I also want to get into, well, President Brad, he's really looking forward to doing one thing with the next head coach of the Celtics, and you're not going to believe what it is. Wait till you hear this. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.